Moreover, I saw in my dream that the interpreter took Christian by the hand and led him into a little room where sat two little children, each one in his chair. The name of the eldest was Passion, and the name of the other, Patience. Passion seemed to be very discontented, but Patience was very quiet. Then Christian asked, "Why is Passion discontented?" The interpreter answered, "Their governor would have him wait for his best things until the beginning of next year. But Passion wants them all now. Patience, however, is willing to wait." Then I saw that one came to Passion and brought him a bag of treasure and poured it down at his feet, which Passion then took up rejoicingly and laughed Patience to scorn. But I watched, and it was not long before he had spent it all lavishly and had nothing left but rags. "Explain this matter to me more fully," said Christian. "These two lads are figures," said Interpreter. "Passion represents the men of this world, and Patience the men of that which is to come. As you have seen, Passion will have all now, this year, that is to say, in this world. So are the men of this world, who must have all their good things now. They cannot wait until next year, that is, until the next world, for their portion of good. That proverb, 'A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush,' is of more authority with them than are all the divine testimonies about the good of the world to come. But as you saw, he quickly wasted all and had nothing left except rags. So will it be with all such men at the end of this world." Christian said, "Now I see that Patience is the wiser in many ways. First, because he waits for the best things, and second, because he will have the glory when the other has nothing but rags." Interpreter said, "And you may add another, and that is, the glory of the next world will never wear out, whereas the good things of this world are suddenly gone. Therefore, Passion did not have as much reason to laugh at Patience because he had his good things first, as Patience will have to laugh at Passion because he had his best things last. For first must give place to last, because last will have his time to come. But last gives place to nothing, for there is not another to succeed. He, therefore, who has his portion first, must have a time to spend it. But he that has his portion last, must have it lastingly. Therefore it is said of Dives, 'Thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented.'" Christian said, "Then I perceive that it is not best to covet things that are now, but to wait for things to come." "You speak the truth," said Interpreter. "For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Since things present are such near neighbors to our fleshly appetite, and since things to come are such strangers to our carnal sense, therefore the first of these suddenly fall into amity, and a distance continues between the second." Then I saw in my dream that the interpreter took Christian by the hand and led him into a place where there was a fire burning against a wall, and someone standing by it, continually casting water upon it to quench it. Yet the fire burned higher and hotter. "What does this mean?" asked Christian. "This fire is the work of grace in the heart, and he who cast water upon it, trying to extinguish it, is the devil. But let me show you why the fire continues to burn higher and hotter." So he took Christian around to the back side of the wall, where he saw a man with a vessel of oil in his hand, which he also continually cast secretly into the fire. "What does this mean?" asked Christian. "This is Christ," said Interpreter, "who continually, with the oil of his grace, maintains the work already begun in the heart, by the means of which, notwithstanding what the devil can do, the souls of his people prove gracious still. And you saw the man standing behind the wall to maintain the fire, teaching you that it is hard for the tempted to see how his work of grace is maintained in the soul. I saw also that the interpreter again took Christian by the hand and led him into a pleasant place, where there was a stately palace, beautiful to behold, and Christian was delighted at the sight. He saw also upon the top thereof certain persons walking, clothed all in gold. Then Christian said, May we go in there? Then the interpreter led him up toward the door of the palace. At the door stood a great company of men who desired to go in, but dared not. While at a little distance from the door, at a table, with a book and his pen before him, sat a man taking down the name of any who should enter there. He saw also that in the doorway stood many men in armor to protect it, ready to do what hurt and mischief they could to the men that would enter. Now Christian was amazed. At last, when every man stayed back for fear of the armed men, Christian saw a strong and determined-looking man come up to the man that sat there to write, saying, Set down my name, sir. And when he had done this, the man drew his sword and put an helmet upon his head and rushed toward the armed men, who attacked him with deadly force. But the man, not at all discouraged, cut and hacked fiercely. So after he had received and given many wounds to those that attempted to keep him out, he cut his way through them all and pressed forward into the palace, at which there was a pleasant voice heard from those who walked upon the top of the palace, saying, Come in, come in. Eternal glory thou shalt win. So he went in and was clothed with garments like theirs. Then Christian smiled and said, I think I know the meaning of this. Now, let me go from this place. No, stay, said the interpreter, till I have showed you a little more, and after that you shall go on your way. So he took him by the hand again and led him into a very dark room, where there sat a man in an iron cage. Now to look at him, the man seemed very sad. He sat with his eyes looking down to the ground, his hands folded together, and he sighed as if his heart was breaking. Then said Christian, What does this mean? At which the interpreter told him to talk with the man. Then said Christian to the man, What are you? The man answered, I am what I once was not. What were you once? Asked Christian. The man said, I once professed to be a Christian, both in mine own eyes and also in the eyes of others. I once was, as I thought, set for the celestial city, and had then even joy at the thoughts that I should get there. But what are you now? Asked Christian. I am now a man of despair, and am shut up in it, as in this iron cage. I cannot get out. Oh, now I cannot. But how came you to be in this condition? Asked Christian. I stopped watching and being sober. I allowed my lusts to control me. I sinned against the light of the Word and the goodness of God. I have grieved the Spirit, and he is gone. I tempted the devil, and he has come to me. I have provoked God to anger, and he has left me. I have so hardened my heart that I cannot repent. Then said Christian to the interpreter, But is there no hope for this man? Ask him, said the interpreter. No, said Christian. Pray, sir, you ask him. Interpreter asked, Is there no hope that you must be kept in the iron cage of despair? No. None at all, said the man. Why, the Son of the Blessed is full of pity. The man said, I have crucified him afresh. I have despised his person. I have despised his righteousness. I have counted his blood an unholy thing. I have done despite to the Spirit of grace. Therefore I have shut myself out of all the promises, and there now remains nothing for me but fearful threats of certain judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour me as an adversary. Why did you bring yourself into this condition? Asked interpreter. For the enjoyment of the lusts, pleasures, and profits of this world. but now every one of those things gnaws me like a burning worm. But can't you repent and turn from these things? God has denied me repentance. His word gives me no encouragement to believe otherwise, yea, he himself has shut me up in this iron cage. Nor can all the men in the world let me out. Oh, eternity, eternity, how shall I grapple with the misery that I must meet with in eternity?